local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
The John George home in Jackson recently confirmed on social media that one of their residents was struck by a vehicle and killed while walking across the street on Friday afternoon. They say he went to the gas station to get some candy and was on his way back when he was hit. John George home leadership say the staff, his roommate, and his best friends are mourning him and are devastated. They also stated that accidents happen and that they hold the driver involved in this tragedy in their thoughts. They expressed their deep appreciation for those who stopped to help and the medical team who cared for him. A donation page was set up by the John George home to cover funeral costs, which took just 4 hours to raise around $2,000 worth of necessary funds. John George Home Administrator Carrie Good says that any additional contributions to the page will be designated to help other residents cover cremation and or burial costs. An online link to the donation website can be found on the John George Home Facebook page. Oakland County Sheriff's deputies are investigating a single vehicle crash from Saturday that left a driver critically injured. Deputies and personnel from the Oakland Township Fire Department responded at approximately 4:57 p.m. Saturday to East Gun Road east of Cook Court for a reported injury crash. Preliminary investigation indicates a 2016 Volvo XC70 was traveling eastbound on East Gun Road, approaching a curve when the driver, a 77-year-old woman from Northville, attempted to pass other vehicles at a high rate of speed. As she maneuvered around traffic, she swerved to avoid a bicyclist who was traveling westbound on East Gun Road. The vehicle subsequently lost control, left the roadway, and struck a tree. The driver was trapped inside the vehicle and had to be extricated by emergency responders. She was transported to Henry Ford Rochester Hospital, where she remains in critical condition. A 12-year-old female passenger from Bruce Township was not injured in the crash. Investigators do not believe alcohol or drugs were factors in the incident. Speed is believed to be a contributing factor. The use of seatbelts by the vehicle's occupants has not yet been determined. The Oakland County Sheriff's Office drone unit provided technical assistance by mapping the crash scene. Back on Thursday, just before 10 p.m., the Ingham County Sheriff's Office was dispatched to the 5800 block of Gale Road for a crash involving a side-by-side utility vehicle. The utility vehicle operator, a 46-year-old Eaton Rapids man, was traveling northbound on Gale Road when he struck a deer, causing him to leave the roadway and collide with a tree. Onondaga Township Fire and MMR Ambulance responded, attempted life-saving measures, but the driver succumbed to his injuries. The Sheriff's Office encourages anyone with information about that incident to contact them. Local government groups across Michigan are calling on state leaders to pass a budget before the July 1st deadline.
Representatives of counties, cities, villages, and townships say communities depend on stable state funding to maintain public safety, support economic growth, and provide basic services. The groups also want revenue sharing from the state and are asking for a revenue sharing trust fund to be created, adding that revenue sharing is a critical resource which helps local governments deliver services directly to residents and it should be protected. They say a timely budget will help communities avoid uncertainty and continue serving their residents without any disruption. Jackie Page, the Michigan News Network.
Republicans and Democrats are working together to address aggressive medical debt collection practices.
In the House and the Senate in Michigan, a group of lawmakers from both sides of the aisle drafting legislation, and the bills would add violations for unfair and deceptive practices along with consumer protections when it comes to medical debt. State Senate passed their version, and the House bills had a few modifications but cleared committee. Republican State Representative Angela Regas on her bill and the adjacent.
Caps interest and late fees on medical debt, no interest or late fees for the first 90 days. The other bill, 5255, stops aggressive collections, prohibits foreclosures on homes, prohibits wage garnishment for qualifying patients, and 120-day notice before taking extraordinary actions.
Regas said she's happy it's finally getting votes, but it's been a long road to get to this point. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
If you pay for a streaming service, some Lansing lawmakers want to make it a little cheaper.
Republican House Representative Mike Harris introducing a plan that would prevent local governments from adding taxes onto streaming services. So things like Netflix, Disney Plus, Peacock. He calls the taxes unfair and he wants to make it so local governments can't collect revenue because you decided to cut the cord. The bill passed the House, now moves on to the state Senate for consideration. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
Voting in Michigan will be starting later this week. Absentee voting opens 40 days before each election, meaning voting in August primary kicks off Thursday. Applications must be submitted to the local clerk before the ballot can be issued. They can be completed online or dropped off in person. People should plan to submit their application at least 15 days before the election. Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson says regardless of how you do it, it's important to vote.
I believe that we're in a critical moment for the future of our democracy and our economy here in Michigan, and our opportunity as citizens to have a voice in defining who's going to lead our state in the future is one of the most important rights and opportunities we have in this state.
Those on permanent absentee ballot don't need to submit an application for each election. The local clerk automatically mails them a ballot for all local, state, and federal elections. The Jackson County Department of Transportation has announced multiple upcoming road closures that begin today. One of the closures is happening on Francisco Road in Grass Lake Township between Michigan Ave and Bone Road for multiple cross culvert replacements. The closure has an expected reopening date of Thursday, June 25th, according to the department. J.C. Dott says that during that time, Francisco Road in that area will be fully closed to through traffic during the work hours of 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., while full access to the roadway will be open during evening hours. Other closures are happening on Boyce Drive and Donald Street off of Hewitt Road in Columbia Township. Those roads are being worked on for paving work. J.C. Dott says that starting Monday, Boyce Drive and Donald Street will be fully closed to through traffic until the project is completed. Access will be maintained for local residents, emergency vehicles, mail delivery, and garbage services. The department says that no detour routes will be posted for the closures. Drivers are advised to seek alternate routes and plan their travel accordingly to avoid delays. If you're looking for a new job, you won't be alone. That's according to new research by Robert Half. The company's Kaylee Abraham.
46% of U.S. professionals plan to look for a new job in the second half of 2026. This is up from 38% in the first half of 2026 and 27% 1 year ago.
Abraham says the top reasons people are looking are better benefits and perks, career advancement opportunities, remote work options, higher salary, and burnout. She says Gen Z, those born between 1997 and 2012, is driving the majority of the job search activity. Lawrence Technological University researchers are working to better understand what happens when people vape.
A recent biomedical engineering graduate helped build a device that tracks where e-cigarette aerosol goes after it's inhaled and exhaled. The system can measure how much stays in the lungs and how much is released back into the air. Researchers say the project could provide clearer data on vaping exposure and possible health effects for both users and people nearby. The work is all part of a National Science Foundation-funded research effort in LTU's Aerosol Research Lab in Southfield. Jackie Page, the Michigan News Network.
A University of Michigan study finds that a state program for students with financial need is expanding college access and enrollment.
Michigan's tuition incentive program, launched in the 1980s, offers need-based financial assistance to students who meet certain Medicaid eligibility. The study, through U of M's Education Policy Initiative, found that those in the program had higher success than their peers receiving Pell Grants and peers overall when looking at three-year success rates at community colleges. Officials say the study shows the importance of need-based financial assistance in the success of students and expanding access to post-secondary education. Amanda Forrester, Michigan News Network.
A well-known antidepressant is being recalled due to impurities.
The FDA is recalling thousands of bottles of duloxetine because they may contain a potentially cancer-causing impurity above federal safety limits. The affected pills, prescribed to treat depression and anxiety, are being voluntarily recalled by the manufacturer. The FDA says that while exposure to the impurity may increase the risk of cancer if people are exposed above acceptable levels over long periods of time, those exposed at or below the acceptable daily intake limit aren't expected to experience such a risk. Amanda Forrester, Michigan News Network.
Higher gas prices may have lessened consumer demand for larger, less fuel-efficient vehicles.
GM has seen a little less interest in large, fully loaded pickups and SUVs and more interest in mid-range models. That word from North America President Duncan Aldred at the recent management briefing seminars in Ypsilanti. He says it's hard to tell how long-term this is or what impact we might see if gas prices start to ease. GM's second quarter car sales figure will be out in early July. Meanwhile, other car makers say they've seen more interest in hybrids, but EV sales haven't been impacted. Jeff Gilbert for the Michigan News Network.
Gas prices, however, are trending downward. Here's Allison Kosick from ABC News.
Gas prices here at home are dropping, down nearly 14 cents per gallon in the last week. And diesel prices have now fallen below $5 for the first time since March. Analysts predict that downward trend will continue.
A new survey says that rising grocery costs are changing the way Michigan families eat.
Advance America found 44% of Michigan households are buying fewer fruits and vegetables, while more than half say their diets are less healthy than they were just a few years ago. Families report spending an average of $26 more every month on produce compared to a year ago. Nearly half say they've turned to more processed foods because they're cheaper, and about one in three say eating healthy is becoming financially unrealistic. Researchers say the findings highlight the growing gap between wanting to eat healthy and being able to afford it. Chris Villar, Michigan News Network.
A violent weekend in Chicago.
At least 36 people were shot in the city, 7 killed. President Trump is renewing his call for military intervention. At least 24 shootings were reported in the city since Friday night. Shooting incidents in Chicago are slightly up this year.
A boy has drowned in West Michigan's Heath Township in the Rabbit River. The Allegan County Sheriff's Office says two boys who were brothers were struggling in the water at Trussell Park on Saturday. A bystander heard the kids and jumped in the water to help. The bystander was able to pull one boy from the water, but the second went under and did not resurface. After an extensive search, his body was recovered hours later. Jeep is launching an unusual promotion tied to the World Cup.
Stellantis says the first 100 Americans legally named George Washington who sign up will receive a free two-door 2026 Jeep Wrangler Sport, but only if Team USA wins the World Cup. The company estimates there are between 300 and 400 people in the country with that exact name, and eligible George Washingtons can register now through July 19th at wranglerforwashington.com. A Jeep says the campaign is meant to celebrate American pride and tap into the excitement surrounding the World Cup, which is being hosted here in North America. Chris Villar, Michigan News Network.
Sterling Heights completing its first land preservation purchase using funding from the voter-approved Pathway to Play and Preservation Millage. City officials marked the milestone with a ribbon-cutting ceremony last week, saying the acquisition is part of a larger effort to create roughly 62 acres of connected open space along the Clinton River corridor. The preserved property will help protect woodlands and wildlife habitat while supporting future recreational opportunities. Plans for the area include expanded trail connections, improvements to Rotary Park, and new access to the Clinton River through future canoe and kayak activities. The trail system around Genesee County is about to get an upgrade. The Charles Stewart Mott Foundation has pledged up to $25 million over 5 years to expand non-motorized trails throughout Flint. It will help address gaps in about 70 miles of the county's trail network. Students in the Upper Peninsula will be getting hands-on with their lunch. The USDA has granted the Cooper Island Academy in Calumet over $118,000 to turn an unused part of their campus into a learning garden. The students at the K-10 public school will get hands-on learning on how sustainable natural ecosystems work. The school will install a year-round controlled environment growing system with the federal grant money. The city of Detroit is giving small business owners the chance to open grocery stores in neighborhoods across the city as part of the Green Grocer program. The program provides grants of up to $25,000 for small business owners looking to open a small neighborhood grocery store in the city. The city says over a half dozen new grocery stores will open this year thanks to the program. The Grand Haven Outer Lighthouse is opening to the public this week. The wait is over. Starting Tuesday morning, the historical building in Grand Haven will be showing off its more than a decade of renovations for the 151-year-old lighthouse. They plan to be open 4 days a week through Labor Day, and they're looking for volunteers. This day in history, June 22, 1941, Germany violated the German-Soviet Non-Aggression Pact of 1939 and attacked the Soviet Union during World War II. 1955, the animated musical Lady and the Tramp, one of Walt Disney's most endearing movies, was released in U.S. theaters. 1969, in Cleveland, the severely polluted Cuyahoga River caught on fire when an oil slick floating on the surface ignited. Although it was not the first fire on the river, the incident garnered national attention and led to anti-pollution measures that substantially improved the river's condition. In 1978, Charon, the largest moon of Pluto, was discovered. And in 1986, Argentine football player Diego Maradona scored his memorable Hand of God goal, where the ball struck his hand, but the referee mistakenly thought it had hit his head in a 1986 FIFA World Cup quarterfinal game against England. The illegal goal helped Argentina win that match, and they went on to win the tournament, their second FIFA World Cup title. Celebrating birthdays on June 22nd, actress Meryl Streep is 77 years old. Actor Bruce Campbell is 68. Actor Donald Faison is 52 years old. Former MTV VJ and television host Carson Daly is 53. Happy birthday to Kris Kristofferson, who passed away in 2024. And singer Cyndi Lauper is 73.
But I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors. That's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors are beautiful like a rainbow.
This day in music history, in 1964, the Beatles played their first ever show in New Zealand at Wellington Town Hall. The local chief constable refused a police escort for the Beatles, leaving just two policemen to control over 5,000 fans. In 1968, Herb Alpert started a four-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with This Guy's in Love with You, his first number one plus first number one for the A&M label, and the writers Bacharach and David's first chart topper, a number three hit in the U.K. Also in 1968, the Jeff Beck Group featuring Rod Stewart made their U.S. debut at the Fillmore East in New York. This date in 1973, David Bowie released the single Life on Mars, which peaked at number three on the UK chart. The track, which was first released in 1971 on the album Hunky Dory, features guest piano work by Yes keyboardist Rick Wakeman. The line, "Look at those cavemen go," is a reference to the song Alley Oop, a one-off hit in 1964 American doo-wop band The Hollywood Argyle. June 22nd, 1985, Bryan Adams started a two-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with Heaven, his first number one single. It only made number 35 in the U.K. The song had been featured in the film Night in Heaven. In 1992, three members of MC Hammer's tour crew were wounded in a drive-by shooting incident. 3 days later, Joseph Mack, a dancer in Hammer's entourage, was shot on stage during a concert in Nevada. In 2015, P. Diddy was arrested on suspicion of assault with a deadly weapon in Los Angeles. The alleged incident occurred on the University of California campus where his son was on the football team. The weapon in question was a kettlebell, which is used for weight training. Diddy, whose real name is Sean Combs, was released on $160,000 bail. In 1968, the Otis Redding album Dock of the Bay went to number one in the UK. The posthumously released album and his sixth studio album contained a number of singles and B-sides dating back to 1965 and one of his best-known songs, the posthumous hit, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, then I'll watch them roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. Reporting, I'm Steve Boyle. We go to the telephone and say welcome once again to our state senator in the area, Sue Schenck. Sue, thank you for making time for us this morning.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All right. Bright and early on a Monday, but busy. busy times in the state Senate, at least.
Yes.
I got a bunch of stuff you sent along my way, and I need to talk about each one of these individually. I'd really like you to just to highlight, I think, some of the things that you got done with among all of these passed bills.
Sure. So the easiest part of that is probably harder for somebody who's not involved in it to see is that a few of these were bill packages. So they're like six bills to get one big thing done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm happy to do that. So one of the things that we did in the Senate last week was to pass legislation to create, to begin the process to create a state health exchange or health insurance exchange. And it's to start the process, and it just passed through the Senate. But as more and more people are getting, have issues with Medicaid, and also as health insurance prices and medical prices are going up, this is a way to bring prices down and to have a little more control over exactly what the insurance will allow. So it's not creating a new insurance, but it's creating a new process, sort of like the federal exchange, which still exists, but gives people another option, and the state will be allowed to negotiate with insurers directly over prices so they can protect the people. I don't know where it will, it goes to the House next, I know that. Mm. I don't know how they will feel about it, but we do know that in states that have done this, the prices have gone down and choices remain at least as good as what they had before. So I think it's worth a try, because as the federal government has destabilized, the state has had to take on a fair bit of responsibility in terms of health and health insurance. So that one was a big one. I don't know if you want to talk more about it or if you want me just to keep on going.
Yeah, that's fine. We can move on, I guess. I think we understand.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the health insurance exchange is part of a package that we've been calling a Michigan you can afford. So our team looked at what can we do to lower prices in Michigan, and that was one of the ideas that would make a big difference in people's lives. So that's good. And then another one that was not part of a package was just that there are a lot of people who are being resentenced now. They had long sentences. They were sentenced as juveniles to maybe a long term of years or life imprisonment. And as they're being resentenced, some of them are being released. And because the courts are the ones who are doing the resentencing, determined that they have served enough time. And this was just a bill to make sure that those people who weren't they weren't being released previously, they're being released due to a court decision, get reentry services. And the reason that that's important is that reentry services are things like help finding an apartment, help getting reconnected with the modern world. Sometimes it's counseling, sometimes it's job help. And we know, and even in the time that I've been there, the recidivism rate has gone down because our reentry services have improved. And so it's important that people get those services so that they come back to the community and can participate fully and positively. So that's one, again, goes to the House. It's on the House now.
Sue, I don't mean to interrupt.
No,
but
you go right ahead.
the reentry services that you're talking about, these are being created by this package, or is it helping connect to already existing services?
It's connecting to already existing services, and it's not that many people. It's and I don't know exactly how many people it is, because some of those resentencings are going to be going on going forward.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that many people, like probably under 100. It's just mm-hmm. that we didn't have legislation that allowed them to access those services before. But no, those services are available across the state. And when most people are released from prison, they are basically given a warm handoff into those reentry services. And we've been working hard on improving them, and they have been improving.
Okay, that's clarification I needed. Continue, please.
Also, this is one. It's not going to affect our district, but I think it's fun, so I will say it. In St. Clair Shores, people use golf carts, but it's kind of a big place. It's grown. Mm-hmm. And so we need legislation to allow them to operate golf carts on streets and county roads in basically in St. Clair Shores. So we did that. And the people there, they really wanted it. They have a lot of marinas along Lake St. Clair. And so it's a big deal to them. And sometimes we pass bills that are a little quirky that are a big deal to the communities that they affect. So that was one. And then the other thing that we did that I think will make a big difference in our district is to pass a low-income housing tax credit, which is to there already is a low-income housing tax credit, but this expands it, and it will increase the amount of low-income housing that is built. And I think that it's important for people to know that when affordable housing is built, that or low-income housing, that is, it's housing that the market wouldn't have built because the people who live there, kind of by definition, cannot pay market rate, and so it helps developers create what we call a capital stack, because usually they're going to get some private funding, private loans, but then also to make it work, because it's not market rate, this tax credit helps make it work, and they get a credit on their taxes for having done it, and it's housing that wouldn't have been built otherwise. It gets a tax credit, but it also wouldn't have been paying taxes otherwise because it wouldn't have been built. Does that make sense as the way I said it?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Awesome.
I want to go back really quick to the golf cart thing because as much as,
sure.
This is a St. Clair Shores thing that you mentioned. That is a, I don't want to say issue, but golf carts on roads is a thing that happens quite a bit, especially in smaller communities around our Jackson County even. And I know municipalities end up having to kind of make rules regarding that. So how is it? It's a state guideline, but it's only for St. Clair Shores that you guys did?
Well, it could affect other communities. It was presented as being as affecting St. Clair Shores, and it allows it. So I think that the local governments are still, and St. Clair Shores would still be free to, I mean, the leaders of St. Clair Shores came in, we need this. So it doesn't take away local control. And so if, I guess I would say this, if communities want or don't want them in their communities and they need my help, let's talk about it because I'm happy to help. I think the issue that I can see with golf carts is that they don't have the same safety standards and they don't go as fast as cars. But I also know that they are a heck of a lot of fun to drive. I've only driven them on a golf course. But and around lakes, people or places where there's a lot of recreation, people use them to just throw some stuff in the back and go on. So it's not going to change anything that's going on here. Mm-hmm. And local communities are generally in the business of having that responsibility.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just know that there have been certain places where I've heard, you know, they're banning them on the local roads in certain places, and other places where, you know, they're encouraging them. You pay a fee or something. So it's kind of a mixed bag as to whether or not you're allowed to take your golf cart to certain places. But I feel like I'm seeing an increase in people who are trying to use those, like you said, if around lakes especially. Seems like that's a popular way to go to get for somebody who may have lake access, but they're not right on the lake, but also anywhere where there's kind of a smaller community and it's easier than just jumping in your car all the time to go somewhere. So I think there's popularity to it. And I was just curious, you know, how that's going to work.
This could spur conversations across the state.
It seems to have gotten really popular, more so than I can recall at any other time in my youth.
I feel like right now there's an increasing interest in alternative forms of transportation in general. So maybe that's part of that, but They are convenient and they are super fun to drive. So the last thing we did was we passed something called the Michigan Voter Rights Act, and it's something that has been passed in a few states because of some of the changes in federal law that people are very worried about really reducing people's ability to vote. So the Michigan Voter Rights Act would create an institute to track what's going on, but also to provide accurate, nonpartisan voter information so that people can go to one place and find it. Now, most people probably go to 411.org, which is the League of Women Voters, a nonprofit organization. And it would just codify some things like that you can't discriminate on the basis of race and that you, you know, basically have to let people vote. We passed due to a ballot measure, so that means that the majority of people in Michigan, regardless of how they might vote in a partisan way, voted for this to protect voting rights. But yet we still see efforts to try to undermine that, including some of my colleagues, my Republican colleagues the other day, wanted an amendment that would disallow handing out food and water to people who are, or making available food and water to people who are standing in lines. And in some places, I don't think Michigan, although I think it did happen in Detroit, so I guess I would say Michigan, I haven't seen it myself, where people are made to stand in long lines. And so I think, you know, it's important that people get accurate information and that they be able to vote, because we know that democracy works better when more people vote and when they have accurate information. So that's really what this package is about.
All right. Anything else you feel like you got to touch on before we conclude?
I think something that we're likely to vote on in the near future is a statewide septic system bill, which would require inspections, but it's changed a lot and over the time that we've been talking about it. And I think the big thing for people to know is it would help clean up a lot of our local lakes if people have leaky septic systems, but also it wouldn't go into effect for a bit and it wouldn't require inspections very often. But considering that many of the septic systems in Michigan have probably never been inspected, I think it would be a good thing. So we worked really hard to make sure that local governments were okay with it, and we'll see where it goes. Because it's just if people have an interest in it, they might want to reach out to me and give me their opinion. We haven't voted on it yet, but we are likely in the near future, and that would be something that would affect our district a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
but I will say slowly, very slowly, like over the next 25 or 50 years.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, I don't know who would perform those inspections. Is that creating a new, I don't know, government entity that's now in charge of statewide inspections? Or
absolutely not. It would be a local health department.
Okay. And that likely to what, contract through private groups or?
I think probably they, it depends. You know, here in Washtenaw, sometimes the health department actually comes out and inspects.
Mm-hmm.
We have a point of sale ordinance already, and it would not affect our county with the point of sale ordinance in a negative way. They really wanted to keep, our health department really wanted to keep that point of sale ordinance. So that there was testimony from some, you know, like septic pumping companies that they can conduct inspections and they can also do, obviously, there are repairs that are necessary. Sometimes people just need minor things done. Sometimes they need more. So I think that it would be the local health departments basically that are in charge of things. So not creating a new entity, where sometimes that happens, but it's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, people shifting responsibilities is a lot easier and less expensive than creating something new.
Okay. I don't know how dialed into it you are. Or, you know, I don't think you're part of the budget negotiations or anything, but what's the word on the deadline coming up July 1st for the budget?
Yeah, so I actually have one piece of the budget negotiations. I, on behalf of the Senate, negotiate the corrections and judiciary budgets.
Mm-hmm.
And so my team and I, because this is a team effort, have been getting together several hours a week for the last couple of weeks to make sure that we're ready. And I met with my House Republican counterpart, Brad Slaw, last week to talk about it a little bit. I've talked to the governor's staff, which is basically the people, the director and deputy director of corrections. So I'm ready. I don't know, though. I haven't heard, you know, we've been told to be ready, and, mm-hmm. and I'm ready. I think my colleagues are. And I don't know when those negotiations will happen, so when we'll have a final budget. But the month ends pretty soon, so mm-hmm. I know that that a lot of us, regardless of party, would really like to see this done by July 1st because it's important to people, and then otherwise it's kind of hanging over everyone's head until it gets done.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think I bet a quarter with Mark last week. I will bet that it gets done on time, but only because I want it to get done on time so bad, so I'm trying to, you know,
there's
get my way into that.
There's a wager hanging on this.
There is, a whole quarter.
All right, well, I mean, best of luck. Who wins if it's done on time? You do?
I do.
Oh, well then, all right. Best of luck. I hope you win.
Thank you.
All right, thanks so much. State Senator Sue Schenck joining us in studio today. Haley Hemmig, County Partnership Manager at American One Credit Union, and Shakayla Zoss, Marketing Manager for American One as well. And welcome to the studio this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right. And Shakayla, I mean, pull that microphone right close. You got that right. There you go. Great. All right, we're good to go here. Now, I'm excited to hear what's going on because I've heard about this event, but limited detail. And so I'm excited that we're going to find out more about the American One Credit Union Community Fair. Kind of give us the outline. What's happening?
Excited to host the A1C Community Fair in partnership with Junior Achievement of Michigan's Edge. This event is inviting the community out to participate in our interactive lifestyle game. And during the game, they'll be transported from station to station where they'll have to make choices together that shows the impact of a household budget. And so we're really excited for a fun summer night, but also that huge important piece of financial wellness.
Yeah, so this is for like youth, a little bit of financial education for young people.
Yeah, this is fun for the whole family. So nice. There'll be stuff for adults as well as little kids and those in between.
All right, so what kind of what kind of stations are we looking at?
Yeah, so the stations are based off of what people really would see in a real life household budget. So we're partnering with the Jackson Area Transportation Authority for travel expenses. We're partnering with Goodwill for some that nonprofit giving aspect. And we have over 10 partners for these travel stations as well.
Oh, great. And so is this something you need to register for, or can people come out?
There's no registration. Yeah, but the best thing to do is to follow us on Facebook and stay up to date. Our partners are sharing what you can expect at their tables. We're sharing kind of different aspects of the event. So it's a very good way to stay engaged.
All right. And so we have these stations, and we're I don't know, kind of financial. What do we call it? The game?
Game of life.
Yeah, okay, like, yeah. Game of life. Okay, that mic did fail on us again, so we'll have to share.
Yep, that's okay.
But so what else will be happening there at the American One Event Center for this event?
Yeah, so first I would like to thank our sponsors,
sure.
Consumers Energy, Goodwill, Walton Insurance Group, The Craft Agency, JTV, Allied Solutions, and Experian. And we also got a grant from the MCUF, so we thank all you guys for being in partnership with us.
Excellent.
But we're also going to have not only the stations there, but we're also going to have community resource tables. So, like, Consumers Energy is going to be out there, so you can come and talk to them about if your family is in need of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we have about 28 community resource tables on top of the 10 stations of the game. So we're excited for everyone to come out and just interact with all the stations. We're also going to have a bounce house, free dinner, so we're going to have the Yankee Doodle Dog. He's a new hot dog guy. Crazy Cowboy, as well as Little Caesar's Pizza. We're also going to have Kona Ice out there. There's going to be games. And then we're also going to have a candy table from Jackson Popcorn Depot.
Wow, super fun.
Yeah, lots of fun, lots of activities, lots of interactions with all the community resources. So,
all right, well, so when is it? Where is it?
Yeah, so it's this Thursday from 6 to 8 at our American One Event Center.
So just a couple hours at the American One Event Center over there on the fairgrounds.
Exactly.
The old fairgrounds, we always like to say, but Keeley Park, and just a couple hours on a Thursday evening sounds really fun. I know J-Rod's going to be out there broadcasting live.
Yeah.
K105.3. Where can people go for more information?
They can go to our website. So it's just americanonecu.org/communityfair. That gives them all the information that they'll need, as well as, like Shakayla said, follow us on Facebook with all the updates. But yeah, like I said, it's free, and we're really excited to have everyone out there from the community.
Okay, so let's envision this here. You arrive at 5:56 because you want to be there in time.
Yep.
What do you do?
All right. Yep. I can walk you through this. So you're going to come in. You're going to check in at our table. And then you're going to have greeters from the American One team kind of going over the game. And they'll get some swag. And then from there, they will guide you to your first station of the game. And they'll get a punch card. And the punch card walks them through the whole game. And then at the end, they'll have the opportunity to put their punch card in for a giveaway.
Oh, all right.
But that punch card also gives them Kona ice as well as dinner. So that is part of the simulation.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, the Kona ice alone will probably get you a pretty good crowd.
Let's hope. I love Kona, especially if it's going to be a nice summer night, for sure.
Yeah, right now it looks like maybe a little rain in the morning, but by the time you guys are ready to rock at 6, it's going to be lovely.
Oh, for sure. We're excited.
No doubt. Well, if you're just joining us, we're here with Haley Hemmig and Shakayla Zoss from American One Credit Union. Did I say your name right?
Yes, you did.
I think you're the first Zoss I've ever met.
Yes.
I love it. Well, that's great. No, it sounds like a really cool thing, and it's whose idea was this? I mean, how did this come to pass? How did it come to be?
Yes, so we partner with Junior Achievement and Michigan's Edge, and they actually host this within some schools around Jackson, and we partner with them during these events to kind of be the financial institution that helps guide and teach students these financial wellness aspects. And so we're really excited to bring this event and open it up to the whole community now.
All right. Yeah. So it's kind of existed before. So this isn't even like the first time. This is just going to be like the biggest one.
Well, let's hope.
Yes. Says let's hope. Well, no, I think it's a fun, cool thing. It's summertime in Jackson, so a lot of times you're looking for activities to do with the kids. So this is great for families to get on board and head to the American One Credit Union Event Center at Keeley Park. 6 o'clock, 6 to 8 on Thursday. Food, drinks, fun, and prizes. I think that's cool. What's the big giveaway? Is there something big, like one big main prize, grand prize?
We have tons, actually. So we have like Jack 60 bowling night for the family, Cedar Point passes, all skate passes, Nixon Park splash pad passes. Yeah. So we kind of made it family fun. A $300 Visa gift card, $300 Meijer gift card. So there's a ton of great giveaways.
Yeah, holy smokes. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sounds great. So it's, again, American One Credit Union Event Center this Thursday night, 6 to 8, for the community fair. And really cool that you're teaming with Junior Achievement. I know they're great folks over there.
For sure.
If you see Connie, tell her say hello.
Oh, we love Connie. She'll be there.
I'm sure she will. That's very cool. So, again, give me the details where people can find out more or stay in touch with what's going on with the event.
Yep. If they go to our Facebook page, American One Credit Union, they can follow us there. And then if they go to our website, americanoneacu.org/communityfair, they'll find more information there as well.
Yeah. I always find it's handy just to type in what you want. American One Community Fair, I bet it gets you there.
Oh, you know what?
The search engines are great at it.
Yeah, exactly. That's a simple search instead of me saying the whole URL.
Yeah, right. Thanks so much, Haley Hemmig and Shakayla Zoss from American One Credit Union for that big event coming up on Thursday. You guys have a great rest of your morning.
Thanks.